When Anarion awoke, he was sore in limb and numb in mind. Crawling from beneath the protective canopy of Indraugnir's wing, he looked up to see a dark sky. The storm had abated, and the clouds gone, but not a single star could be seen. The cold waters lapped against the rock beside him. In the other direction, he could see nothing but blackness. He looked to Indraugnir, but the dragon did not rouse. His body heaved and fell with massive breaths, and his eyes were closed. The Phoenix King saw gouges in the flesh of the beast, and noted the tattered edges of Indraugnir's wings. He patted his companion gently upon the shoulder, and sat down with his back to the dragon's foreleg. Here he sat, alert for any danger, and kept watch. As the first fingers of dawn touched upon the sea to the east, Indraugnir stirred. Blinking his eyes, the dragon yawned wide, puffs of smoke drifting from his open maw. Indraugnir turned towards Anarion and saw that the king was awake. Anarion stood as the dragon shifted his bulk and tentatively flexed a wing. Indraugnir's thick lips rippled with pain, exposing sword-long teeth.
I fear my boast has come back to haunt me. I am undone by the storm and can carry you no further.
No other could have seen me through the tempest. There is no shame in such a feat. We are here upon the Blighted Isle, and I can find my way alone. Rest up, for it will not be long ere I must go south again, and even I cannot walk on water.
With the Sword of Cain in hand, perhaps you could carve apart the seas and cross the dry wound to Ulthuan.
I would rather be carried by a friend. Farewell, and I shall return soon with my prize.
The Blighted Isle was lifeless, a barren rock broken by stony spires, home to no plant, nor animal, nor bird, nor the smallest insect. Anarion set off away from the dawn, picking his way through scattered rocks and stones. Soon he spied higher ground to the west and strode on with purpose. Pulling himself up a rocky ridge, the king saw that the morning had all but passed and the sun was not far from noon. Yet the circle of light hung in a dark sky, its light weak, a pale disc that seemed more like a moon. Crossing the ridge, Anarion felt a pull to the south, and the sharp, luring whisper returned to his ear. Yet even as he turned in its direction, a mist rose from the naked rock, surrounding him until the sunlight was no more than a faint sheen in the air. Shadows stirred in the fog, and Anarion thought that the demons had returned. He circled slowly on his heel as the shapes resolved into vague silhouettes. Tall and slim, robed with cloud-like gowns, they crowded closer, just out of reach. Grey figures that stretched towards him with pleading hands, their insubstantial bodies evaporating and reforming. Dark mouths opened, and the fog swirled with hoarse whispers.
He walks among us. He walks among us.
Anarion swiped at the apparitions with his hand and stumbled back from their advance, only to find more behind him. There were thousands, a great mass of wraiths that grew in number with every passing heartbeat.
Leave me be, foul spirits. The dead have no business with the living. Torment your slayers, not I.
A quiet female voice beside Anarion quelled all the others. They are the spirits of the dead yet to be, Anarium. The Phoenix King spun around, recognizing the voice.
Astariel?
It was she. A shimmering ghost of white and palest green among the melancholy grey. The Phoenix King looked upon her beauty again and wept. He stepped forwards to embrace her slender body, but his arms passed through air without substance, leaving only a cold sensation that prickled his skin. As the spirit of Astariel reformed, he saw now that there were rents upon her flesh, and silver blood spilled from a wound in her breast. Anarion gave a wordless moan and fell to one knee.
My beautiful wife. What horrors have been inflicted upon you? Is there to be no peace for your spirit?
In peace I lived, but in violence I died. To peace I will return, but not before I have spoken. Give up this quest for vengeance, Anarion. Shun the lure of war, and find it in your heart to treasure the memory of my life, not the haunting of my death.
Look what they have done to you, my beautiful wife. Look at the destruction they have wrought upon your realm.
All things die, and then grow again. Even Avalon has its seasons, though they last longer than the lifetimes of elves. What seems permanent now is but fleeting in the eyes of the world. The future cannot be born out of grief and anger, but is created anew with hope and love.
My love died with you, Astariel. This is your shade. Fleetingly here, but soon it will be gone. Only in death will we join each other again. But I cannot needlessly throw aside my life and abandon our people. When the demons are destroyed and Ulthuan is safe, I will return the Widowmaker to its black altar and let loose my grip on the world. Then we shall be united.
There are things that you are not to know. But you must believe that all is not as bleak as it seems. You sought sacrifice to end the woes of the elves, but there will be greater sacrifice yet. Though in times to come we shall spread our gaze across the world and rule the seas, it will be but a brief respite in the dwindling of our people. You now must make that choice. Look to your heart. We must forgo that power that makes us strong, that the demons might be caged again within their terrible prison. And with their passing, so too will our glory fade.
Never! We will rise anew from this war, greater than ever! Though your entreaty would break the heart of an ice fiend, my mind is set.
Silver tears rolled down Astariel's cheeks as Anarion turned from her. The Phoenix King stalked away with a whisper.
We will be together again soon, my love. But there is something yet that I must do.
It was not long before Anarion came to a wide, flat expanse near to the center of the Blighted Isle. Here, jagged black rocks, veined with lines of red, thrust up into the ruddy skies like a circle of columns. The ground within was as flat as glass and black as midnight. At the center, there stood a block of red-veined rock, and something only partly visible shimmered above it. Even as his thoughts touched upon the Godslayer, there came to Anarion's ears a distant noise, a faint screaming. The ring of metal on metal, of fighting, echoed around the shrine. Anarion heard a thunderous heart beating and thought he saw knives carving wounds upon flesh and limbs torn from bodies on the edge of his vision. The red veins of the altar were not rock at all. but pulsed like arteries, blood flowing from the altar stone in spurting rivers of gore. He realized that the beating heart was his own, and it hammered in his chest like a swordsmith working at an anvil. Anarion stood transfixed before that bloody shrine. The thing embedded in the rock danced and wavered before the Phoenix King's eyes. A blur of axe and sword and spear and bow and knife and strange weapons not known to the elves. Finally, a single image emerged of a long-bladed sword, crossguard curled into the rune of Cain, its black blade etched with red symbols of death and blood. Anarion reached out and stopped, his fingers a hair's breadth from the hilt of the sword. All became silent. Not a movement stirred the air as the world and the gods held their breath. Anarion knew this would be his doom. All of the warnings came back to him. The words of Calidor merged with dire predictions of the demons and the pleading of his dead wife. It all mattered nothing to him, for his spirit was empty, and only the sword of Cain could fill the void within him. The ground shook, and rock crumbled as Anarion's fist closed upon the hilt. He pulled the sword free from its stone prison and held it aloft. Blood seeped from the runes etched into the blade and poured in thick rivulets across his hand and down his arm, trailing crimson across his armor. Godslayer, Widowmaker, Doom of Worlds, Spear of Vengeance, Deathshard, Icefang, Heavenblight. By many names it was called, by mortal and demons and gods, but one name alone it truly held. Sword of Cain, the Lord of Murder. Now it was the sword of Anarion. The doom of the elves was sealed.